Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we are continuing our series on seeing our household saved and how to pray for our loved ones. Again, we all have loved ones we wanted that we're concerned about. And in previous series, we've talked about how we pray. But in addition, there are also principles, there's scriptures that we pray. And when we go before the Lord, we have to be precise in our prayers, just the precision of that prayer, and mainly our roles as the Christian. We've discussed our roles as the priest. Being a priest of God for our loved ones, as well as we have discussed, went into really in depth on the priesthood, if you're the firstborn in the family, and even the priesthood of friendship and how to prepare for priestly intercession. But this last session, and hopefully we'll end up this week or next, we are talking about exercising spiritual warfare for our families, being the warrior priest. The last sessions, we talked about praying a hedge of protection and even praying a hedge of thorns for the wayward loved ones, that they have that hedge around them where no one can penetrate or enter in, and the importance of binding, rebuking in the name of Jesus, praying against wrong influences in their lives and imaginations and false reasoning being poured down. But, of course, we want to see the conviction of the Holy Spirit. On last session, our main topic was praying for household salvation, and we discussed the faith-sized prayers, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, implanting the Word, which the Word represents the seed of God. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about the preparation for the seed, and the personal examples and opportunities that we have to share. But we want to start off with Matthew 9 and 37 and 38. Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us into all truth in the name of Jesus. So let's look at the Bible, and I want to read it out of the Message Bible today. It says Matthew 9 and 37 out of the Message. And then it says, then Jesus said, and he made a circuit of all the towns and villages, and he taught in their meetings, places. He reported the kingdom news. And if you're in the Message, it starts at 35. And he healed their diseased body. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless, they were like sheep with no shepherd. Now, there's this point that we're focusing on. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers on your knees and pray for harvest hands. So we know the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. I remember one day I was in intercession praying years ago, and the Lord said, not only are the harvest, you know, it's ripe and the laborers are few, but a lot of us have been, sitting on the pew. So if we all are in position to what God has for us, you may be able to reach this person here where that father or mother maybe have been praying for that son. But if we are Christians and we do our portion, there's so many diseased and hurting people that are out there. I have been going to the gym, and every now and then I see a young man, and I've been using it as an opportunity to minister. Well, guess what? His parents are in Texas, and I have been seeing him at the gym in Florida. And there, his father is one of the major pastors at a very large, well-known church in Texas. Now, you think that's not a setup? So I'm able to witness to him. Just think if all of us reached out and touched somebody or ministered to someone you don't know whose son that you may be ministering to. See how God, he works. And even here in, we're here in Florida where they just had that tragedy. And we were actually there on Sunday morning, the day of the event that it happened. And the tragic, they just had people so just fearful and confused. And even some of the officers we talked to, you know, they were dismayed. You know, I remember just a few weeks ago I prayed with an officer. You never know whose husband that was. He was getting in line. We were at Starbucks, and I said, can I just pray with you and cover you with the blood? And he said, well, of course, he was on duty. He came and stood. I said, you know what, I'll just make the proclamation. You know, it may have been awkward for him to stand there and bow his head and hold hands, which we've had some officers that have, but we made declarations over his life. And when he left, he said, thank you. He said, because tonight I'm going to a club. I don't know if he went to that club later, this was 3 weeks ago, but you just never know who you're witnessing to. But if we all became laborers, did our part for the body, we could make a difference. So let's see again what Jesus said. He said, when he looked out over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were. They were like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest we have out there, he said to his disciples. How few workers. And then he told them, on your knees and pray for harvest hands. And so when it comes to praying for household salvation, we all have our part in the body of Christ and what God is wanting us to do to make that difference. You witnessing to your neighbor or the person on your job may be the result that's needed, or that last seed that's planted that's needed to get people into the harvest and to salvation. You know, one of the things with the studies of Paul Youngie Cho and his church, one of the things that they said, that some of the people were reached over 7 times, and they had such a harvest and a plentiful that was there, but plentiful workers that went into the field, that one man said, and he moved because they kept coming to his house, and then on the 7th time, he had moved. Someone came to his home and witnessed, and guess what? He accepted the Lord. We may not know how instrumental we are in touching someone's life. So the next point we want to bring out is the personal example and the opportunity that we are to have to share. And, you know, I love to witness, as I'm an evangelist, and I talk to everyone pretty much. I'll pray with them going through a toll or on a plane or at a restaurant. But I'm reminded of a young man that I was ministering to again here at the gym. And he was telling me about a nightclub that he went downtown Orlando, and he danced all the time. And so, you know, I said, Lord, you know, I don't know if that was the nightclub or if he was there. But you just, again, you never know what person that you're ministering to or the seed that's needed to be planted. So in praying for household salvation, yes, we need to be in faith and have faith-type prayers. And the question is, can we believe for household salvation? And in previous portions of the points we've made in this lesson, we have talked about how people have gone forth by our prayers of asking God to commission the angels in Jesus' name or to prepare a path where your loved ones walk into and someone is there to water that seed. So God is saying, in your prayers, do we have faith for that? For the Holy Spirit conviction and in planting of the word and of the seed that God wants us to be able to plant in the lives, because he's counting on us. I'll never forget in sharing testimony of preparation of the soil and mainly a personal example and opportunities to share. We had just came back, I think maybe from Brazil, and we were coming to America to switch planes, and we went to the bank, and we were exchanging our money into American dollars, or either we were getting American dollars, I believe, or either converting money over so we could leave to go into a country. But while the girl was doing the conversion, there was a young lady that was next to her over in the other booth or, you know, the other cashier. And I began to witness to her about the Lord. A star was standing there dealing with the one lady. And so she had been going back and forth to deal with the people that were coming through the window, you know, in the back and driving through the drive-thru. And God said to me to witness to her. So I began to witness to her in the bank, and I began to give her a prophetic word of what God was downloading to me. And she began to weep. See, when we go into places, God is showing us in preparation of the soil, we have to plant and we have to water. We have to have that personal example in our lives and opportunities to share. And as she wept, she was so concerned about security. She was so concerned about her boss. And I looked around, and God gave me a word of knowledge that her boss was a Christian, and it was fine. And security didn't say anything. And as I began to minister to her, she told me the exact same thing that you said to me, her dad said to her when he dropped her off for work. She'll never forget that. And then guess what God did? He had me call her boss over and begin to minister to her. And before it was all over, we got her number, because the boss's number, the manager of the bank, she wanted to sign up for our evangelism class. So here we're talking about praying for household salvation. The father was trying to minister to her when she got out of the car. God gave me a prophetic word to give to her. She's at work bawling and lying. And see that household salvation, what the father was trying to tell her, God sent a confirmation to be able to witness to her. She'll never forget that day because it was a rhema word. So some plant, some water, and God is giving the increase, but he's waiting on us. You might be the link or the confirming word to the person, husband, that needs to get saved. You might be the link or that confirming word to a wife that's on the job that's sitting next to you in her portico. Or you might be the teenager that needs to witness to the other teenager because his mom and dad have been telling him he needs to get saved, but his friends are pulling him into the world, and he may have just been thinking that night about doing something, a criminal act or a drug act, or maybe even taking his life. See, you just never know what people are going through. You never know what effect you can have on their lives. I'm reminded of a story of a young man who had cleaned out his locker, and he had so much that he dropped his books on the way home. And one of the young men went by and picked up his books and helped him carry them home. And that day, and as the story goes, years later, he told his friend, after they became best friends, he said, that was the day I had decided to clean out my locker, go home and commit suicide, but because you helped me. So in this praying for household salvation, and the points that we're making here is being in faith, having those faith-sized prayer, but can you believe for household salvation? Letting the Holy Spirit conviction and implanting of words from our mouth as the Holy Spirit works in us, those seeds that we're planting. And the fourth point is the personal example and opportunity to share. And the main thing we're talking about here in this final point on this section today is for laborers for the harvest. Now, it bears repeating, and I'm going to go over Mark 4 again, and then we will get into travailing prayer. But in Mark 4, we talked about this at the end of our session on last week. And we see where some of the seed fell in the weeds as they came up and was strangled among the weeds, and nothing came of it. And some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding its wildest dreams. This is about a farmer who scattered his seeds. And I believe as our seeds are planted, as the farmer plants the word, some people are like the seed that's going to fall on the hardened soil of the road. And no sooner they hear the word than Satan snatches it away, what has been planted. And then some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they what respond with great enthusiasm. But there's such shallow soil or character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. And even with that difficulty, it's not like this week it's been such a prominent thing that a lot of people, even ministers that we've talked to, the difficulties they're going through, that's when we water and we water even more, so that we can have the fullness of what God wants us to have in our lives, so that we can have something to show for it. But the seed that's cast in the weeds represents the one who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries and all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get and the stress that strangles what they've heard. But the seed planted in good earth represents those who hear the word and embrace it and produces a harvest behind their wildest dreams. And that's what we want to talk about today. Our part is preparing the soil. And as we close with this point in exercising spiritual warfare for our families, make sure that we are preparing the soil to plant the seeds so that the seeds won't be thrown or won't be cast off. If it's a nephew or a niece or an uncle or an aunt or your mom or your dad, you know, God is saying to you prophetically today, prepare the soil. Because there will be people that will come by and that we're believing that they will be there to help you to water that seed. But God is saying there's a time of preparation of the soil. And there's so many people that are waiting on us. They're looking for an answer. We were one of the first groups that arrived at the Orlando Pulse nightclub on Sunday morning. And so many people, they were hurting. We were able to witness to people, to talk with them, prophesy over their lives. We talked to some of the officers. We were able to minister. But you just never know. And sometimes we won't know throughout eternity until eternity or when we go to heaven, the difference that we made in those lives by planting those seeds. It's a hurting world out there, and people are waiting on us to be able to minister to them what God is having us to say. So don't even be fearful. Sometimes you have to step, you know, over the line. Sometimes you have to go into territory. One of the greatest fears that people have is public speaking. But one of the other fears in teaching evangelism is for people to go and talk to strangers. But as the body of Christ, we have to prepare ourselves, prepare the soil, because we can't be fearful to witness to someone that we don't know about Jesus. They're just waiting for us to strike up a conversation. They're waiting on us to say something, and they're wanting to talk. Some of the things the police officers have told us about that, they had been in there putting up the fence so they could take the bodies out. And one of the officers was just telling me and Pastor Starr about the bodies and how they were positioned in there. And, you know, it was just, he was probably in a state of shock. He's probably not supposed to be telling us any of this information, how many were still there, how many were there, how many, you know, had died. And the other officer was like, well, I didn't even look. We're just trying to get this fence up. We talked to one of the young men whose friend had just left at 1:30 in the morning, had a bad feeling. We were able to, so people are wanting to talk, but we initiated those conversations. Those two officers with the badges around their neck, they weren't going to come up and just start talking to us, but we were able to not only talk to them, and they were able to share, but we initiated it and we talked about the Lord. So there's so many opportunities, but we have to be able to get out of our own comfort zone and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we only have a few minutes left, about 6 minutes, and we didn't get into our session. We pretty much did a recap from last week. But let's talk about travailing prayer in the next 6 minutes. Number D is travailing in prayer. And the point that we'll bring out of it, it's not begging or pleading with God. It's sowing tears sometimes, but there's a reaping of a joy. Sometimes, you know, years ago, and even in my personal time, there may be a groaning in the spirit, praying intensely and fervently, where you're just stretched out before God. That travailing prayer, the sixth point, is just pray daily, persistently. And then the seventh point is fasting. And so we're going to talk today about the first point we want to bring out. Let's look at Galatians 4 and 19. That's Galatians, the fourth chapter, and verse 19. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in for Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. We're talking today about travailing in prayer and in labor for our loved ones. You know, the time that I went into the Holies of Holies for 5 hours, it was when I was travailing and crying with everything I had in me till my stomach hurt so bad from crying. I shed so many tears, and I was weeping for the church, weeping for the body of Christ and the status of our ministers that were fighting in the situation. And God took me into the holies of holies. Now, I believe that there comes a labor in prayer. You know, it's a weeping. Have you think about the time you really wept, or you wept with someone? Either, you know, that's what, it's like a labor. It's like a birthing. And so this portion on, you know, travailing in prayer for our loved ones, sometimes we just have to cry and to weep. And I'm going to read Galatians, the 4th chapter, and I'll read 18 and 19 in the Message. And it says, it's a good thing to be ardent in doing good, but not just when I am in your presence. Can't you continue the same concern for both my person and my message when I am away from you that you had when I was with you? Now listen to this. Do you not know how I feel right now and will feel until Christ's life becomes visible in your lives, like a mother in the pain of childbirth? Oh, I keep wishing that I was with you. Then I would be reduced to this blunt letter writing language out of sheer frustration. Like a mother of childbirth. So here we see the Apostle Paul. He's talking about the travail, the praying. When a mother is giving birth to a child, she is birthing, she is pushing, she is crying out. And so many of us, we've needed people to birth and travail and cry out for us. And God should say, this is a season where we need to birth and we need to travail and we need to cry out for our loved ones. Cry out for the people that we love. God will hear our prayer. He'll say, angels, who is that down there crying out? Who is that out there travailing for my loved ones? Who is that out there travailing and crying out for my church? For the sons and for the daughters and for the body of Christ. God is waiting on us. Just as a mother, that's why we need the travailing women to come to the altar, not to mourn after the death, but to cry out on behalf of those who are dead spiritually, that they may come to life and receive the light and the life of the Word of God. And God is asking in this hour, are we going to act? Are we going to cry out? Are we going to travail on behalf of those who are dying and go to hell? You know, I was thinking about this week as I close and tell the story, and we'll get into this session on next week. But we were on our way to Brazil, and we had to get our passport exchange, and we had just left Dallas and we were in Houston, and we had to get our visa and get the passport done. And when we got into the Houston office, and even on the computer, they had the Houston passport office was closed. We got there and we went through security, and as we got on the other side, one of the security said, well, it's closed. And as we went, another lady was like, well, yeah, it's closed up there. But sometimes, you know, you have to press sometimes when you have something in your spirit and don't take no. She said they're remodeling. Now get this. The man getting on the elevator said not only they're closed, but they've moved out of the building. But I'm one of those that always wants to see and walking on faith. We get up there. We go in. Sure enough, they hadn't moved out, but they moved some of the things. And every one of the windows was closed, and not only that, was taped up. But I saw a lady way on the other side, and she said, ma'am, we're closed. And I walked over to where she was. She said, ma'am, we're closed, and we won't be open. I think it was maybe another 4 weeks or so. She said, you'll have to go to Dallas. I said, oh, we just left Dallas, and we need to get this as soon as possible. So she said, well, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. She said, the only people that we will do a passport here to leave the country, to do the visa, she said, the only people, if there is a life or death situation. And I said, ma'am, this is life or death. People are dying in Brazil, and we are missionaries. See, you just never know what God's going to have you say. And I said, it is a life or death situation. And she looked at me, and then she said, hold on a minute. Let me go talk to my supervisor. I'm sitting there praying. She doesn't walk 20 feet, turns around, and comes back and says, ma'am, I'll have it ready for you. You come back. See, she was a believer. She believed in the Holy Spirit, and she knew the urgency of the hour. And I share that testimony. I haven't thought about it in a long time. To say this, this is a life or death situation for our loved ones because there's spiritual death. People are dying in the natural as well as in the spiritual. And God is calling us to be that travailing church, to cry out like we're birthing something, even as Paul said, as a woman that is in labor pains. And I'm going to close with reading the scripture. We have gone over our time. But in Romans 8, 18 through 22, it says, that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. This is Romans 8. 18 through 22, reading out of the message. And the coming good time. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns in it until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious time ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. See, the earth is groaning for the son, for the daughters, for us to arise. The earth is groaning. The earth is travailing for us to arise. We can no longer be debtors to the flesh and to live after the flesh. Because God is calling us to that life. He's calling us to the life and to the abundant life. And I'm going to read this out of the King James. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to the vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty, hallelujah, of the children of God. Now here we go, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So God is calling us to a point of travail. We don't have to beg or we don't have to plead with God. But he's calling us to endure for the pain of others and for others in Jesus' name. So, Father God, we just pray in Jesus' name that the church will arise, the church will awaken, and that we will cry out. Even, I hear the Lord saying, those of you who are listening, who have lost your passion for the lost, God is going to restore it. He's going to restore your compassion. He's going to give you your zeal back. And those of you who have not lost your zeal, he's saying, don't lose your zeal. Because the earth is groaning. The earth is waiting for the sons and for the daughters to arise. We decree and declare some of you who have been afraid to step out and even speak to people that God would give you the boldness to share Christ. That the soil will be prepared as you plant the seed and that you will give that personal example to others, and also that there will be great opportunities for you to share. For the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So we pray for the harvest to be harvested and for the laborers to come forth in Jesus' name is our prayer. Holy Spirit, we call upon you in Jesus' name. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. We will continue next week in our travailing in prayer and also the one after that, the prayer of binding and loosing. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week. And we believe this week, as you go forth, you will have people's lives that you will touch and it will be a rhema word. You will have a divine appointment, and someone will give their life to the Lord. And remember, that can be someone's son or daughter or someone's husband or wife or niece or nephew or cousin, that they have been praying that there would be someone to touch their life. And even as it's thundering, the earth is groaning. For the sons and the daughters to arise. Have a great day. Be blessed. And be a voice. Because someone is waiting on you. In Jesus' name. Amen.